Amen. Praise the Lord for that special tonight. We're going to be looking at Ephesians chapter 5 together. Ephesians chapter 5, please stand as you find that in your Bible tonight. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 is where we're going to begin. Ephesians is such a wonderful book. When Pastor said it this morning, I was a little nervous waiting for what chapter it was, and I was very happy to find out it was not the same. We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 5. So many great truths, so many great things of wisdom, some instruction here in Ephesians. We're going to be looking here in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. It says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." Let's pray. Lord, I love you. God, thank you for your word tonight. I thank you for the privilege that we have together to be in it or to learn from it. And God, I pray that you'd be with each and every one of us tonight as we're in your word. I pray that you'd open our heart, our mind, or to what it is that you have for us. I pray that we receive exactly what it is you have for us to receive. And God, I pray that we'd also make changes where we need to make changes. I pray that you'd be with me, guide my thoughts and my words. We ask this in your name. Amen. You may be seated. Beginning of Ephesians chapter 5 begins with them talking about walking in love. And we see Paul as he is writing this passage, as he's inspired to in the will of God here, he's writing about our walk as Christians. Can I remind you tonight that we only have one life for the Lord? We only have one walk, one chance at the walk we've been instructed to walk according to the Word of God. And what a horrible thing would it be for us as Christians to not walk as Christ intended us to walk. Amen. To not walk as we've been instructed to walk each and every day of our life as Christians. And Paul here in Ephesians chapter 5 is speaking of walking in love, and he's giving some instruction here. And we find these three verses here in this very large text, some things that we can apply to our walk so we can walk pleasing unto the Lord. And the first thing we find here in verse 15, it says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." In order for our walk to be effective here on this earth, be what God wants it to be, we must have an awareness. Must have an awareness in our walk for the Lord. He says, "See then that you walk circumspectly." That word "see" is to observe. That word "circumspectly" is to be diligent, accurate, precise. And it's a command that we are to observe or give attention to the way that we walk in this world. And as we give attention to our walk, that we will walk accurately and precisely for the Lord. I'm thinking of what our walk for the Lord is, and we can look at it as a journey. Our life is long here on this earth, and there's many opportunities that we have to continue on in this walk, and there's much distance that is going to be traveled. And if you're going on a journey, if you're going on a road trip, whatever it may be, there's certain things you want to do so you can get there on time. Normally there's a date, a destination time in mind for you to arrive wherever it is that you are headed. And as we are on the journey, there are certain things we can do so we can arrive when we're looking to arrive. The first thing you would do on a journey that would be helpful is to avoid obstacles. When you're on a road trip, it's a very wise thing to avoid anything that is on the road in front of you. How many times on a trip have you seen a piece of a tire there in the road, or some kind of scraps that fell off a truck, or maybe a car that is slammed on its brakes and you have to get out of the way very quickly before you crash, before you damage your vehicle? A pothole can really affect how quick you get to work in the winter times here in Indiana. You know, Satan will do anything he can to slow down our walk for the Lord. Satan will try to do anything he can to bring things into our way, into our walk, into the path that we are headed to cause us to stumble, to cause us to fall, to cause us to not go where God intends for us to go. And sometimes he's bringing these things to our life that we're not even aware of, and we don't realize what is happening, things that can provoke us to a certain emotion, or people that we may be associated with or work with on a daily basis that bring temptations into our life and things that we've given into. And as Christians, we must avoid obstacles and watch where we walk. Watch where your feet are going. Be aware of the attacks that are coming. The Bible says, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Satan is trying to draw us away, to lure as we're prey to a certain place, or to entice us, to catch us with a bait. Satan knows exactly what will get you. And many times he's going to use the same thing over and over in your life, things that you can continue to stumble, things that you continue to fall to in your life, to cause you to fall, to cause you to stop walking as God intends for each and every one of us to walk. And he is going to do everything he can to slow you down or make you fall. And as Christians, we must walk circumspectly. Be paying attention to the temptations that are there. Know that they're going to come. Be ready for them. Be alert on the journey of life that we are to live, and avoid the obstacles. Another thing that's helpful in a trip is not just avoiding obstacles, but avoiding side roads many a times. I remember about 5 or 6 years ago, we were driving up here from Georgia, and those of you that may not know, I like to plan how my day goes, and if it doesn't go how it goes, I get flustered, and I do not appreciate that. And I plan accordingly on a trip. I have a goal in mind, and I want to reach that goal, whatever it may be. While we were on our way, that was during the time that 65 was a complete mess. And I remember we were about 45 miles north of Louisville there, and all of a sudden the traffic has stopped. I look on Google Maps, and it's for miles and miles all the way past Columbus, and we were going to be stuck on the road for a long time. So I looked on my phone and found an alternate route. So I began to use it. It had paid off at other times. And I remember we got on this. I told Hallie we can save about an hour. We're going to go this way. And I'm going on all these country highways. And we're about 5 miles from the Columbus exit. We can get back on 65. And there's this very narrow road. And the map showed that it goes all the way through. So I got on it. About 3 miles on that road, it turned into gravel. And I looked at the map, and the map still showed it goes through. So I don't know if I'm someone's property, but we're doing this. And as we continued on, I started to see water in the cornfields. And as we continued to go about another mile, the water was right next to the road. We were on an island of road in the middle of all this water. And after some more time, water was in front of us. The road had disappeared. So I turned around and went back every mile of road. I went all the way back to the exit that I got off and went back on 65 and lost about 2 hours of our trip. It looked like things were going to be okay. That road, according to the map, should have gotten me to where I needed to go. It wasn't a bad thing for me to do, but it got me off course and slowed me down and caused us not to arrive at the destination at the time that we wanted to. There's many things in life that we may not look at as sin in our life, but that can take us off path, get us off track. There's so many distractions, especially in the day and age that we live in, and they're not bad things, but they get us off course. The amount of time that we spend on our devices and social media and hobbies and going on certain adventures and shopping and all these different things that come are not bad things, but if we're not careful, they can control our life. And getting off course can take valuable time from us that is intended to be for the Lord. What's the very first thing you go to every morning? What's the thing you have to check on first, or the thing you need to read first, or the thing you need to watch first? What takes much of your attention during the day? What is the thing that you can't do without in life? It may not be a bad thing, but it may be taking you off course. You need to avoid those side roads. And the last thing on being circumspect here and getting somewhere on time in a trip is to use a map. Use a map. Look at Isaiah chapter 30. Contrary to the stereotype given to many men, I really appreciate maps and directions. I don't like guessing. I like knowing where I'm going before I get there. I like planning it, the fastest possible route that I can go. That's what I want to do. We are not to go blindly in our Christian life. We are not to go blindly in our walk for the Lord. That's not God's intention. And one of the things that he's given us is his word. Amen. He says, order my steps in thy word, and let not iniquity have dominion over me. And we look here in Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21. It says, is my mic on?
Let's all stand. Blessed assurance. Sing blessed assurance.
Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21. It says, in thy ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way. Walk ye in it when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. You know, the word of God is not given to us as a suggestion. It's not given to us as another option in our Christian life. It's given to us as the way. And we need to walk in it. We have one piece of directions here, the word of God, and we are to read it, look at it, and abide by it. God is very clear on what it takes for Christians to live righteously. Follow the word of God. Do what it says. Obey. I'm glad tonight there's only one way to heaven. I'm glad tonight that that we have a very clear understanding. There's one great commission given to the Christian to go and to preach the gospel to every creature. There's one accepted option of living. It's to be holy. It's to not be conformed to this world. We have very clear instructions on how we are to walk in our life. If you've ever seen someone walk on a tightrope, there's not many options in that feat. When you're on a tightrope, there's one step in front of the other, one straight line. Anything else will bring death. The word of God is very clear, and we ought to live, and I'm thankful for that. But if we want to walk as God intends us to walk and go in the direction that he intends us to go, his word must be our focal point, our guide, our map. But we don't just have his word to guide us. We also have his spirit. We're very aware that Satan is going to do everything he can to tempt us and cause us to fall. He's going to do everything he can through distractions and those side roads of life to cause us to get off track and to cause us to get off focus and to head in a way that God doesn't intend us to go. And he's going to do all those things, but God has not left us alone in the fight. He's given us his spirit. And what a wonderful thing it is to know as Christians that we have the Holy Spirit of God living inside of us that can guide us each and every day. Just a few verses after our text here tonight, he says, and be not drunk with wine, where it is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. His Spirit should fill us and control us. He's given it to us as a help. Let's take advantage of that. We need to have an awareness in our walk. Secondly, tonight, we need to have an urgency. An urgency. It says there in verse 16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Every day we have 24 hours, 1,440 minutes, 86,400 seconds. There was a study done some time ago. I'm sure it's changed a little bit, but it said in a 70-year lifespan, a person will spend 23 years sleeping, 16 years working, 8 years of watching television, 6 years of eating, 6 years of travel, 4.5 years of leisure, 4 years of illness, 2 years in dressing. And the majority of the world only spends half a year in religion. We have one life. We only have so much time that God has given us to live here in this world, and we need to redeem the time. That word redeem means to buy up or to deliver from loss. And it's the word that they would use in purchasing a slave in order to set the slave free. And Paul is speaking of a small window of time we have in this world, and we need to deliver that time and give it back to God. Deliver that time from being wasted in the world and redeem it. Give it over to God. That phrase speaks about our walk with the Lord. To make good use of every opportunity that God has given us in serving him. And if we hear some news that could be scary to us, say we heard a tornado was coming to our home, we would do everything we could to warn people about that storm that was coming. Lives would be at stake. We would do what we could to warn those, warn our neighbors if we had an opportunity, call those that we love. There would be an urgency to what we were doing at that time. I can honestly tell you tonight, in the life that we've been given, we don't have much time. We only have so much time to give to the Lord, and every day there should be an urgency in what we are doing for God. Every day should be important in how we're trying to reach others, and every day should be important on how we're trying to be a help to those that are in need or those that need the Lord. Every day should be important. And how much time do we waste? Why should there be an urgency? Because the days are evil. Because life is short and hell is real. The book of James speaks of our life as being but a vapor. Job said that our life is a few days. We need to make the most of every opportunity that we have in our walk. Take the time to pray. Take the time to worship and praise God. Take the time to share the gospel with someone. Take the time to be holy. Take the time to read the Bible. Take the time to honor the Lord with every minute of your life. The word redeeming is that thought saving it from loss. And we can either lose the time that we have, or we can redeem it so it counts for the glory of God. In the moments of our lives, we're either going to be used in serving God, glorifying him, or serving herself, glorifying the devil. There must be an urgency. In our walk, we need an awareness, we need an urgency. And lastly tonight, we need to have an understanding, to have understanding. Look there at verse 17. It says, "Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." That word unwise is to be ignorant, to be stupid with the life we've been given or with the knowledge that we may have. It refers to a person that may think himself wise when he actually knows nothing. We need to go through our life not unwise, not trying to do things on our own, but understanding what God has for us to do. Understanding what the will of God is in our life. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God." Be willing to do what it is that God wants you to do. Be that living sacrifice each and every day, giving your life over to God repeatedly, continually, giving yourself to him and saying, "Lord, not my will, but thine be done," as Jesus said himself. Don't be like the world. Renew yourself in God each and every day. And you may be here tonight and you say, "You know, I don't know exactly what God wants me to do." I remember as a teenager wondering exactly what the will of God was for my life and thinking, since I didn't have clear direction, that there wasn't a whole lot I could do. But can I tell you, there is much that we know of the will of God for each and every one of our lives. You may not have a specific plan, but according to the Bible, we know that we must have a personal relationship with God. Amen. We know that we should be in his word, have a devotional life and be in his word each and every day, reading. As David said, "Early will I seek thee," looking to God each and every day. You know, the Bible settles us. How many times have you struggled in your life with your thought life or with fear and worry, and you go to the Word of God and feel that comfort, that peace that only comes from him? How many times have you been concerned or confused or maybe not knowing exactly what you needed to do in a situation, and in the Word of God you found help, guidance? We need to read it.
We need to live it. We need to pray. We need to bring all our requests unto God. We need to cast all our cares upon Him and seek Him, seek His strength. We know that we need to be the parent God wants us to be. Every night, Hallie and I, we try to get a little bit of time together downstairs watching television or doing something else. And one thing I like to do is watch a game and sit in my chair, my feet and my foot massager that I got at Bulldog Liquidators. You ought to go get one. A Diet Coke next to me, a blanket on my lap. And most nights, as I'm sitting down to relax, we've instructed our children on what they should do, and we hear fighting or screaming. Mostly from our four-year-olds and from Jackson. That's the other one. And as a parent, as a father, I am very good at not hearing it. And in my mind I can zone it out and not hear it. But as a Christian, I know that my children are to obey me. And I also know how my children are to act with their siblings. I understand what the will of God is for their life and what sin is in their life. And as a father, the will of God is for me to instruct my child on what they should do, to discipline them when need be, and to help them understand how they should be treating their brother or their sister, or help them understand how they should be respecting me and obeying what it is I've told them to do. I understand what the will of God is, and understanding it, I should do it and teach them the word. We understand the will of God would be for us to encourage others to do right. We understand the will of God would be for us to be a soul winner and to disciple and bring others in to do the exact same. We understand it's right for us to have the right attitude and to be kind one to another, to be forgiving, to listen while we're at church, to attend church, to avoid sin, to not participate in it, to serve God in the ways that we can. We may not know God's specific will or plan that He has for our life, but we know we are to obey His word. Understand the will of God and do it. Much of my teenage years and just some small time after we got married, there's so much time that I wasted. I knew what I should have been doing for God as I was in Bible college. I knew what I should have been doing for God as I was a teenager. And there's so much time that I just did what I wanted to do with. I understood what I was to do, but I wasted time. I want to encourage you tonight, don't waste it. We have one life to live for God. We have one walk. We have one opportunity to do something for God with our life. We need to redeem it. As we close tonight, let's look at Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1 together. Some more writing from Paul, and I think it'll be a help to us as we close. Philippians chapter 1, verse 23. Actually, verse 21. He says, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Paul understood what his life should have been about. Paul understood that his reason for living should not be himself, but be Christ. But he says here in verse 22, "But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not, for I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better." You know, Paul knew what his life was to be lived for. And obviously, we look in the New Testament and we see so much evidence that Paul's life was not about himself, but about Christ. But we also find Paul many times in the Word of God talking about the pain that he was feeling or the weariness that was on his heart or his times of imprisonment. And we see Paul at those times in his heart, he says here, I'm betwixt, between two. His body was being pulled down by the world and the weariness that he was feeling, but his heart was longing for heaven. And he felt conflicted. He wanted to be with God, but he was also just down here on earth, and he had this emotional battle going on in his life. And as he was struggling with this, what did he say here in verse 24? Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith. You know, Paul knew that heaven was going to be far better. And can I remind you tonight that it will be? But he said, nevertheless, to abide in the flesh would be more needful for you. He understood that even though he was tired and longing for heaven, he had time that needed to be redeemed for God. In other words, he was ready for heaven, but needed on earth. I think I can speak for many of us tonight that the last 6 months have made us weary. It's in the looking at our lifetime, it's just 6 months of our life, but it's been hard. And there's people in here dealing with other ailments, other diseases, other illnesses, or financial problems. And we have all these things that in the life and in the walk that we have for God that are obstacles or side roads or things that are trying to bring us down and things that are making us weary. And it's a very easy thing as a Christian to know that I just want to go to heaven. It'd be far better than what I'm dealing with. But even though we are maybe ready for heaven, if you're here, you're still needed on earth. And if you're here, your life should not be wasted, but redeemed for your God. And may we not sit back and wait, but may we redeem the time. Walk circumspectly, understand what the will of God is, and do it. We are needed on earth. I just want to ask you tonight as we close, how is your walk tonight? Every head bowed, every eye closed. The altar's open. We have one life. We have a certain amount of time that God has given us that should be lived for Him. And may each and every one of us be determined to redeem the time and to understand what the will of God is and do it. Lord, we love you. We thank you for who you are. Thank you for what you've done in our life, the calling that we have as Christians to walk circumspectly. Lord, I thank you for Lord, each and every page of your word, the guidance that we have, and I pray tonight that we would just be determined to live for you each and every step of the way. Bless the invitation. We ask this in your name. Amen.